We do a morning show. Mornings on Planet 93.9. It's called Dave and Darren in the Morning. This is the top five things that happen on that show. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, liking, all that you're doing for the podcast. Now it's time for us to do our part of the bargain and give you the content you so richly deserve. Hello, Darren.
The show I bought you. The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. The recreational waiting list is available. You can reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
Let's get into the top five things. We'll begin with our first one.
Number one.
Ricky Gervais, the British comedian in the news this morning because of a wish that he has. This is his dying wish. He's let people know what he wants to happen to him when he goes.
He's dying?
I think he's fine. But I think, you know, you get to a point in your life where you start to plan for the inevitable, right? Ricky Gervais asking the London Zoo when he dies if it would be okay for them to throw his body into the lion exhibit and he could be torn apart by the lions.
Sure, absolutely. We can even do that before you're dead.
His dying wish to be torn apart by lions. The London Zoo is saying, no, we're not going to do that.
Okay, then moving on. Sorry, Ricky.
He says, I thought it would be good to just be fed to the lions at London Zoo. That would be useful, wouldn't it? Because we never give anything back. We take everything from this world.
Well, are we good for a lion's diet?
Interesting question.
I don't know that we necessarily are we?
Well, you're giving them the taste of human flesh, which probably isn't the best idea. Maybe we're too good. Maybe we're so good that that's all they want. What do you give lions now at the zoo? I imagine just like beef, right? Like, what kind of meat do they give the lions? They feed the lions some sort of meat, right?
Yeah, some sort of protein.
Where are they getting that from? I know watching The Tiger King, they would get meat that they couldn't sell at Walmart and feed it to the tigers.
They couldn't sell at Walmart.
Yeah.
At Walmart.
They had a deal where he had a deal with the local Walmart there in Oklahoma. When the bologna was past its selling day,
starting to go bad,
they would sell it at a reduced price to the
I wouldn't mind having zoo. I wouldn't mind having that deal.
You would eat expired bologna? This is why you're never going to end up just in a tiger cage as the menu.
Let's just say newly expired.
The chief operating officer for the London Zoo says, I suspect Ricky may be a bit gristly for our lions.
Oh, yeah, right. That's, so they're saying they would prefer,
leaner cut of meat.
A younger person.
The zoo says, we are struggling financially because of lockdown. So if anyone wants to give something back, we would welcome donations that would help us keep our lions fed on a more suitable diet.
Are they talking of cash donations?
Yeah, that's what they want. It's like, hey, Ricky Gervais, you want to give something back to the zoo? Instead of feeding your carcass to the lions, how about you pony up some of that money that you got from like the office, and then that way you can give something back and we can feed the lions.
But let's admit, it was a very funny thing for him to say. I think we all find it hysterical.
To be fair, yeah. You're not a fan of Ricky Gervais?
Maybe not the top of the list.
Number two. Darren, are there any desserts from the past, your childhood, your early adulthood, any desserts that have gone away that you would bring back? Any discontinued desserts?
That you can't find anymore?
Yeah, something you would have for dessert. That gets, because desserts basically are eternal, right? It seems weird to me that there would be something offered as a dessert and then it wouldn't be around
and
anymore.
And then banished, huh?
I will say, growing up, and because this was, I wasn't the person who made the decisions about, what groceries were purchased when I was a child.
They didn't ask you.
No,
huh?
My input was not sought. It seems to me that there was always a lot of Neapolitan ice cream in the fridge at my house.
More so than now.
Right. That was a very 70s thing,
right? Yeah, it was a very 70s thing. Was that your dad's favorite or your mom's favorite, or was it just your mom's way of thinking that
little bit of everything.
I think both of those things.
Yeah.
I think it was a matter of, well, the value. You get three. You're getting three at the same time.
Yeah.
Neapolitan ice cream was a much bigger thing when we were kids.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I don't even know that I've seen it on the shelves.
It's around.
Yeah.
It's around.
My worldview being informed as someone who would go in the freezer as a kid is that was the only ice cream you could get. But no, it turns out.
Yeah, no, that was a very popular one. And then, of course, the country fell in love with mint chocolate chip.
Yeah. There's no going back after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bring this up because there's a dessert that was discontinued in the 90s that they are bringing back. Are you familiar with Viennetta? Viennetta.
Yes.
A fancy dessert of the 90s. Returning to the freezer aisle after being gone for 30 years. Viennetta, it's like a rich ice cream cake.
Yeah, ice cream cake is what it is.
That's what this looks like. Here's the commercial from 1995.
It's got like an ice cream piping on it, right?
I think that's it.
Breyers has created a spectacular ice cream dessert called Viennetta. But despite its delicious premium ice cream, with its irresistible, crisp, chocolatey layers, Viennetta could leave you with one small problem. New Viennetta from Breyers. One slice is never enough.
So it's like an ice cream cake that you slice
up. Did you ever get the ice cream rolls?
Sure.
Yeah. Those?
Those are still a thing, though, right?
I think Whitey's has them. You can get them from Whitey's.
Interesting. People going out of their minds, good humor announcing that this is back after 30 years. Viennetta had, it says here, an impossible texture, like cold fluff or maybe sweet memory foam. So it's not quite an ice cream cake. It's an ice cream dessert with chocolate sprinkled on top of it. So if this is something you've been missing forever,
kind of sounds like a social disease, though, doesn't it?
Viennetta.
Uh-huh. Oh, bad case of it.
Or it sounds like a foreign movie star.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm sorry.
Starring Viennetta in a role that will shock you.
I'm sorry, buddy, but I'm on the shelf for a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, what's up?
Viennetta's back.
Have a flare-up?
Yeah, Viennetta.
Discontinued desserts, Viennetta. Well, it's coming back from the people at Good Humor. Originally, it was a Breyers thing, but now this is something that you can expect to find in your, again, the frozen food aisle. More discontinued desserts that used to be a big deal are gone forever.
They have ice cream cakes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have ice cream pie, although you're always putting ice cream on pie.
Yeah, you put the ice cream.
But there's not really an ice cream pie, is there?
Hmm.
Or is there? Who's making an ice cream pie?
That's not a thing.
There's an Eskimo pie, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to call it that anymore.
Well.
I think you're supposed to call it something else.
Like a chocolate ice cream pie.
There's discontinued desserts from different restaurants where they'll have something on the menu for a time and then they'll get rid of it and people miss the apple crumble at the Cracker Barrel. That's not on the menu anymore. So people tend to miss that. But in terms of desserts that you could get at the store, I just don't think there's, other than this Viennetta, I can't think of any other examples where you would find,
something that's gone away.
And do you bring this back because people have been clamoring for it? Doritos guacamole. Have you ever heard of that? Guacamole flavored Doritos. That's something that was discontinued.
Probably. Not a dessert, though.
Wild cherry jello, a dessert that's been discontinued that people would like to bring back. But as far as desserts, Viennetta, that's that's as close as it gets to, you know, they're bringing that thing back from, what's someone here saying? Haagen-Dazs black walnut ice cream needs to be brought back.
In the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
A very Quad Cities thing.
Yeah.
Were you here when they still had the Bishop restaurants?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, their chocolate pie was a big thing that you had to have. Their chocolate pie that had the shavings on it and everything.
When I was here, I moved here, there was two locations. You had Duck Creek and South Park Mall.
That's correct.
And then, gosh, how long has the Bishops at Duck Creek been closed? I don't think that was around.
Well, that's been closed for quite some time.
Right.
That was kind of the big one. And then wasn't it, did they move Bishops to what was, they tried to turn it into a Ryan Steakhouse? Was that a Bishop's for a while? Was that location? You know what I'm talking about? And now it's a Realty office.
I don't even think it's that anymore. So you're talking about on Kimberly.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that a Ryan Steakhouse?
Yes.
So before that, it was Bishop's.
Am I right about that? Did they try to turn that into a Bishop's for a period of time?
All right. Help us out on the text line at 470-23-NOT-SHOW. I think it was some sort of buffet, but I don't remember it being a Bishop's.
Reach out to us on the Snowstar Extreme Sports text line. 470-23-NACHO.
Yelp here has the 10 best desserts in Davenport. 10 best desserts in Davenport, according to Yelp. Let's see here.
York Steakhouse's chocolate pudding used to be good, too.
Now, York Steakhouse, the gimmick there was...
York Steakhouse, that was a franchise.
That was the gimmick. My buddy Marty used to work there.
They spoke in some sort of broken French.
Yeah, the idea was you were going back in time to a castle to eat your food, and the wait staff would talk in a weird language, or...
They would, yes. When you ordered something, then they would call back to the people that were cooking there in French.
Someone here raving about Baker Square pies on Elmore Avenue. That's not a thing. There's no Baker Square pies on Elmore Avenue.
Did Boston Market have desserts?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because they were here, but they weren't here for long.
Yeah, and I don't remember them having...
Did they have desserts?
Did Kenny Rogers Roasters have desserts?
We never had a Kenny Rogers.
Let's see. People raving about Village Inn for dessert. Okay.
Well, that's... Yeah.
I'm on board with that, but that's a chain. What would be a quintessential Quad City dessert?
Well, obviously Whitey's ice cream.
Yeah, but that's like an ingredient in a dessert. Like dessert to me means...
Ice cream's not a dessert?
No, a dessert is like you put some more thought into it than just ice cream.
Take that, Whitey's. Put more thought into it.
Whitey's is, now hang on now. Whitey's is a treat that you go and get. I don't know that it's some, dessert means after the meal. I'll go to Whitey's just in the afternoon.
I think people are going to back me up on the fact that ice cream is a dessert.
It is, Darren, but not the spirit of what I'm talking about. Dessert is, we've had our meal, now we're going to have dessert.
Which could be a bowl of ice cream.
That's kind of a lazy dessert, though. You're not putting a lot of thought into that. Yes, of course.
Well, how much thought do you put into a Pepperidge Farm cake?
Well, there's a little bit more thought going on there. Cake is more of a, there's more of a thought behind that.
There's more of a process to making a cake than making ice cream?
Don't you think? Mm. Ice cream, you scoop it out, you put it in a bowl, you're done.
Well, a cake, you cut it and you put it in a plate, it's done.
Now, if you were to put ice cream on top of the cake, that's more in the spirit of what I'm talking about for desserts. There's enough effort there that I would feel good calling that a dessert.
Next time I have dessert, I'm going to make sure, you know what? I don't know if enough effort was put into this.
I'm not wrong here. Cookies are a treat. That's not a dessert. If you go, okay, we've had our meal, here, have some cookies. Now, if you have a cookie and you put a scoop of ice cream on top of it, that would be a dessert because some effort was expended.
What if I make it from scratch?
The cookie from scratch?
No, ice cream. I'm gonna get out the ice cream maker.
Yeah, I still say that's just...
Maker.
It's not about the effort of the production. It's about the effort of the combining of one thing onto another. Mm. So if you made the ice cream on yourself, I would go, that's it for dessert, though? Like, there's not like a brownie?
And then you're going to get hit in the head with the ice cream maker.
We don't get
and the what are the, is it rock salt? What do they have to... You've just turned this ice cream social.
I just think for you to call it a dessert.
Everyone's leaving the ice cream social. There's a Lavoro over there.
Yelp, very helpful here with the great desserts in the Quad Cities. Thunder Bay Grill, the dessert review reads as follows. We had the onion soup and salmon fresco.
That's not... What about the big cinnamon rolls out at the machine shed?
Yes.
Does that count like a dessert?
Yes, that's... Well,
that's a dessert? Or not? If you can have a cinnamon roll after dinner, and I bring out a big giant cinnamon roll, is that dessert?
I don't feel like dessert is something you have with breakfast. You have dessert with dinner.
So the cinnamon roll is too breakfasty.
Yeah, I'm going to say cinnamon roll's not a dessert. It's something you have as part of a balanced breakfast. I don't think... You know what? I'm not going to call a cinnamon roll. A lot of effort goes into making a cinnamon roll.
Sure does.
There's no question. I'd like you to do something else to the cinnamon roll before we go...
Boy.
Clapping each other on the back saying we made a great dessert.
Boy.
I have dessert standards, Darren, and I apologize to no one.
The dessert police.
Well, I don't think I'm wrong. Am I? Am I way out of line here? I just think a dessert is...
So a cinnamon roll after dinner is not dessert?
No, I want something else going on. Like, is the cinnamon roll...
Like what? Someone dancing?
No. Another ingredient. It's like we're having cinnamon roll, you know...
Scramble?
Well, that's, again, more of a breakfast thing. I don't know that I love the idea. Like, the cinnamon roll with chili debate that we had not that long ago. The cinnamon roll is part of the meal.
Yeah.
It's not the dessert.
What if you had a cup of ice cream afterwards? Would that be dessert?
No, I think you're making this you're am I not explaining myself? There needs to be more going on than just here's a scoop of ice cream for dessert.
What about a piece of pie?
A la mode is a dessert.
So a simple piece of pie you're going to get frowned at by the dessert police.
Yeah, now that you say that, I feel kind of silly. Pie would be dessert, but...
And what about a piece of cake?
It would be an ex...
Piece of cake is not dessert. They bring out cake on the dessert cart.
Yeah, but there are other desserts.
Get to take one.
But you see that the effort has been made to make variety.
What I understand.
The variety equals the effort.
But the dessert cart has desserts on them. And the dessert cart has just pieces of cake.
Yeah, I just feel like
cheated.
I'm.
They actually call it a dessert cart.
I follow you, but there are a variety of desserts.
Okay, so would pudding? If I had the York, if I had the York restaurant,
gross.
The York restaurant, the chocolate pudding. That wouldn't be dessert.
Not for me. I don't need anything with a skin on it.
It doesn't have a skin.
Doesn't pudding get a skin on it?
No, not always.
It's off pudding. I can't do. You know, I can't do pudding.
You eat chicken with a skin.
That's a different skin. That didn't develop the skin while it was being made. That had skin when it was harvested. If a chicken didn't have skin, you killed it and it grew skin. I wouldn't eat chicken.
I don't know that I would either.
That's messed up, man.
You got Jurassic Park there.
Number three.
Study suggests drunk fish are able to... Drunk fish are able to convince sober ones
to
follow them around. This is a study that needed to happen.
How do they get drunk?
Well, they put alcohol in the tank.
Well, that's not... Wait a minute.
This is something they're doing at the New York University Polytechnic Institute of Engineering. You put just a little bit of alcohol in a fish tank, and that'll get your fish tipsy.
Then how are the other fish not drunk?
Well, you keep them, you know,
and then you
separate,
put them
in, I guess.
Keep them separated.
Fish are convenient subjects for scientists who want to affect the effects of alcohol because you can get a fish drunk real easy. Just a little bit of alcohol in the tank, and they are hammered. An associate professor there at the New York University Polytechnic Institute of Engineering used this technique to show that drunk zebrafish are not afraid of robotic predators. For the latest study of intoxicated fish,
wait a minute.
Maurizio Porfiri and his co-authors had their subjects swim in three different alcohol concentrations. 0.25%, 0.5%, and 1%. The highest concentration translates to about having a 0.1 alcohol content in the fish, which would be above the legal limit of 0.08 for people here in the States.
Now, are they afraid of these robots before they're drunk?
Earlier studies had found that a moderate dose of alcohol makes fish more active, while a higher dose slows them down. But for this study, they wanted to see how a fish that had been exposed to alcohol would behave when it was surrounded by sober fish. So you put a drunk zebrafish in with a bunch of sober zebrafish to see what happens.
Got a little lampshade on his head.
Are you texting your ex again, Carl?
They're trying to recreate the office party.
After letting each...
Don't text her. Don't do it. Don't.
I need to tell her how I feel.
After texting...
I feel great.
There's so much that's I need to say.
After each zebrafish soaked in a beaker of water and ethanol, it was then dropped in a tank with four sober zebrafish. They then watched how the fish interacted for 5 minutes, a camera recording the group from above so that scientists could measure how the fish were moving using a tracking algorithm that they just came up with. The fish who had been exposed to alcohol swam faster in a group than they did when they were by themselves.
Showing off.
This might be because moderate intoxication makes them hyperactive. That's something they found in an earlier study where, again, they got fish drunk. They may also be drunk and overact to the stimulus of seeing other fish nearby. Moderate amounts of alcohol are also known to lower a fish's inhibition.
Sure. So the fish has been drinking and then all of a sudden the girls show up.
So the zebrafish are more aggressive and less afraid of unfamiliar things or predators. Meanwhile, the four sober fish did not ignore their intoxicated friend as it was zipping around the fish tank. They followed it. Now, why is that? A couple different explanations. Maybe there's something about the drunk fish's one-on-one interactions with the other fish that made the group as a whole move in the same direction. Or maybe the sober fish looked at their non-sober tank mate and saw a leader. That's what they think is likely. Because the drunk fish is uninhibited. It's like a bolder fish, and they think, well, that must be our leader. He must be in charge. As they follow the drunk fish around the tank, the sober fish also speed up to keep pace with it, swimming roughly a third faster than they would otherwise.
Maybe they just like his dirty jokes. This guy's funny. This guy's on a roll. And soon he will be.
Have you heard the one about the Bacchusimus?
What? The very drunkest zebrafish, though, lost their leader status. Fish that have been exposed to the highest alcohol concentration started to lag behind the rest of the group. So they were following instead of steering the zebrafish. Higher alcohol doses have sedative effects. So the really drunk fish start to slow down and display a sluggishness in response to the rest of the group. I will say this. If you're a drunk fish, that's not bad, because when it wears off, you get a little bit of a hangover, but you need to hydrate yourself.
Yeah, you're right there.
It works out nicely. You've had that dream, right, where after a night of drinking, where all you do is dream about, like, drinking out of the sink.
Drinking water?
Yeah, just pounding glasses of water, or you're drinking out of the sink or at a water fountain.
Yeah, I've had the drinking water dream.
Where your body is telling you, this is what I need.
Oh, you need to be doing this.
So are they saying with this study that being a little drunk would make us humans better leaders?
Or we would just like you more. Not stupid drunk, But just a little intoxicated, we would prefer everybody. Uh-huh. We would prefer everyone to be a little intoxicated.
If everybody just had a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah, we would prefer you.
Yeah, yeah. So it's worth pointing out that the very drunkest fish were the ones that had a blood alcohol that would have been equal to over 0.08. So don't do that.
Yeah.
Just stay, you know.
Too drunk.
Yeah, stay in that.
We don't like you when you're too drunk. But right. We like you when you're a little intoxicated, like I am now.
Yes. Just everybody aim for Darren's level of intoxication. Uh-huh. And
you'll be good to go.
And then we'll follow you. Exactly.
My wife doesn't love me.
What?
She doesn't understand me.
Jeez. You're really, really burdening us with your problems.
This is TMI, man.
You're making us uncomfortable.
I know we're fish and we're underwater and everything, but you're underwater, man.
That's a saying, right? Like, he was drinking like a fish.
You're drinking like a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is an act. This is literally.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Drunk fish. That would be fish. That'd be a fun job. Just getting fish hammered and studying what
happens. And then you're suspended above them like in Mission Impossible to watch them?
Well, yeah, they use an algorithm to test whether or not they're going faster or not. Yeah, yeah.
In my day, we called it a flow chart.
Number four.
What is the perfect condiment to put on food?
The perfect condiment?
The most absolute perfect condiment.
Hot sauce.
It's not bad. But it's not the number one most perfect condiment. And the answer is pretty obvious and easy. It's ketchup. Mm. This is not my opinion. This is science. Scientists have discovered that there is something particular to ketchup that keeps us coming back for more. And it's a matter of taste. Because your taste is made up of
that makes sense.
Five separate sensations.
Uh-huh.
You get your sweet, your salty, your bitter, your sour, and the all-elusive umami.
Mm-hmm. Savory.
Now, some sauces can get one or two of those things, right? A sweet and sour, it has both sweet and sour, but you're missing out on the bitter. You're missing out on the umami. Ketchup is one of the only foods on planet Earth that can hit all five tastes. Scientists dubbing ketchup as the perfect food. When we taste it, our entire palate is satisfied.
When's the last time you put ketchup on a steak?
It's been a long time. I tend to just season my steak on the grill.
And eat it.
And eat it. I don't tend to put
anything on it.
I don't know that I've ever put ketchup on
a steak. Not even as a little kid?
How much steak do you think we're eating in my house as a little kid?
Not much.
No. No, I don't. I told you this in the past. I didn't try ketchup until I was in college.
What?
Yeah. Have I not told you this?
No. I knew about the ranch dressing.
That was the big...
I knew about the gravy.
That was my...
But not the ketchup. You didn't have ketchup and french fries as a kid?
No. Picture it. Spring break.
You just
Daytona.
Ate them, you just ate them dry?
Yes. I never tried ketchup until...
Why? Because you thought it was like gross?
Just the whole idea of sauce, you know, didn't appeal to a younger me. That was the crazy thing I did in spring break in Daytona.
Just have ketchup.
Yeah. I was like, you know what?
What'd you have ketchup on?
French fries.
How'd it go?
Oh, I thought, this is a game changer. Like, what have I been doing my
whole
life?
I've wasted my life.
That's kind of what I said. Yeah. Yeah, it was a spring break. It was the middle of the night. We went to a McDonald's. I got French fries, and I was like,
I'm going to
put ketchup in one of those little paper cups, and I'm going to do this, by God.
I'm going to get wild.
Right.
I'm on spring break.
This is as crazy as I get.
This is as good as it's going to get for me on spring break.
And it turns out it was. But the point is...
And then you started putting ketchup on what?
Oh, everything. For a while there.
Hamburgers? Sandwiches?
Sure.
You still do?
Well, ketchup and mustard.
Yeah.
I wouldn't just do ketchup on a hamburger sandwich. You got to have both. To please the palate.
Now, did you have mustard as a child?
No, not. Well, no. I'm trying to think. I don't remember the first time I had mustard. I remember vividly the first time I had ketchup, and I was older than 20 years old. Not quite 21.
For both?
No, I feel like mustard is a different story.
And how old were you when you had ranch dressing?
That was something I did at a wedding, and I was like 25 or 26.
And what about gravy?
That's a fairly new development, too, in the scheme of things. Listen, I like what I like.
You don't know what you like because you don't try anything.
Well, there's that. I'm trying to be better about that.
Have you ever had sriracha?
No. Sriracha? That's like a hot sauce, right?
Yes. It's a hot sauce.
What would I put that on?
You can put it on anything you want.
That's the one with the rooster on the
Yeah, it's got garlic.
I see it when I go out to eat.
It's got garlic in it.
What do you put it on?
Anything you want to put it on.
Well, but like specifically, what's its what is its design? People put it on their eggs, right?
You can put it on your eggs.
What do people put it on? Like, is that what it's designed
for?
You
can put it on anything. A hot dog, you can put it on anything.
On a hot dog? What?
Anything you want to put it on.
You
can even put it in, I put hot sauce in soups.
I need more instruction than put it on anything you want.
Well, it says
I need to know it was designed for this purpose. It seems sketchy. You can put it on anything.
It would be good, like on a stir fry.
Okay, or maybe I have had it as an ingredient. I don't know.
You haven't.
They say if a manufacturer knows what they're doing with ketchup, you don't get one flavor, but rather an overwhelming sense of deliciousness.
Have you ever had a flavored ketchup?
Like what flavor? What do you mean?
Like a hot ketchup?
No. Hot ketchup.
Yeah, like a jalapeno ketchup.
Where would you even find such a thing?
Oh, I don't know.
Where do you shop?
The grocery store?
The grocery store has jalapeno ketchup?
Of course it does.
Do you have to go to like one of those sketchy aisles, or is that in condiment aisle?
You mean the Isle of Intrigue? No. The Isle of Intrigue? No, you don't have to go to the Isle of Intrigue. It's right next to the other ketchups. Don't you look at things?
For ketchup, I get my ketchup. I'm not there to learn new things.
But don't you notice that there are different ketchups there?
No. If I'm in the ketchup aisle, my job is to get the ketchup
no.
and leave. I'm not there to have a conversation with the ketchup aisle.
So you've never noticed a jalapeno ketchup?
I'm telling you, I don't even believe you when you say that's a thing. Mm. That's something I could get at Hy-Vee, jalapeno ketchup?
Yes, you could.
I'll tell you what that sounds like. Sounds like a good way to get diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
No thanks. I don't know how those flavors complement each other.
It's ketchup, but it's hot. Hot ketchup.
I don't know. What's the point of that?
You like hot stuff.
Hmm. Well, I like hot girls, but, you know, they have their problems, too.
Uh-huh.
Hot girls, we have problems, too. We're just like you.
Except we're hot.
The world needs to open their eyes and realize we're not perfect. Sometimes we, hot girls, we have problems too. We're just like you, except
we're hot.
It's true. They have problems too. Open your eyes and realize. Ketchup, you have your salty, your sweet, your bitter, your sour, and then that umami comes into place, which is the taste that's almost impossible to articulate. It's translated from the Japanese and simply means delicious. So ketchup, according to these scientists, is the perfect food because it gives you all five flavors. If, again, they know what they're doing, all five flavors at once.
I'm going to get you some hot ketchup.
Let me ask you this, cocktail sauce.
Yeah.
Do you have a brand of cocktail sauce that you enjoy? Because I've been going through different cocktail sauces. We've been auditioning different cocktail sauces in my place. And I will say this. Right now, and I'm not the only one in my household that feels this way, the best cocktail sauce that we've had would be the Hy-Vee brand cocktail sauce.
Really?
It's dynamite, and now when I go looking for it, they're sold out.
Yeah, I mean, typically, it's pretty much the same thing. It's like...
I couldn't disagree more.
It's a ketchup, and then you've got your horseradish.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know there's horseradish in there?
I try not to poke... Like, I don't want to know too much about the ingredients.
Horseradish is like the little white flecks that you might notice.
Yeah,
Then there's like lemon, and then that's it.
I can't see horseradish and not think that it's made out of horse.
Oh.
So I try not to look too much at the ingredients.
No, it's not a horse.
Well, but it just seems like a weird thing to call it. So it's like a radish that horses eat? Why is the word horse in the word for horseradish?
Well, that's a good question.
Right? Did they used to...
I don't think they fed it to horses.
Well, then why would you even have
that word? It's a strong root.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strong root.
So it's strong like a horse? Is that the idea? Why do we have, you know, horse in the name if horses aren't involved at all? I think it's, you know,
misleading.
I don't want to.
Hello,
Ruffles.
Horseradish is called horseradish, Darren. It's a plant, the horseradish.
Yeah, it is a plant.
And it's in the same family as broccoli and mustard, a root vegetable.
It's a root vegetable.
Elvis would tear that out. Horseradish can grow up to 5 feet tall? I had no idea. The word horseradish is from the 1590s. And horse means strong, like strong or coarse.
Yeah.
So horse just means strength.
Strong root.
Mm-hmm. So there's no horses involved.
It would certainly clear your sinuses if you just ate horseradish.
Do people do that? Like if you got a cold, do you have a horseradish?
Well, I'm not saying people don't, but it's strong.
Mm-hmm. You can get it in a jar?
Yeah, in a jar. It's just, you know.
Can you buy it in the produce
mashed
section?
Mashed up or creamed.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll check that out, but...
You'll never check it out.
No, I won't.
Don't lie.
I have no desire to learn more about the horseradish.
Shut up, dummy.
You have no more. You don't have a desire to learn more about cocktail sauce, even though that you'll eat.
Yes, but that's so.
What are you eating cocktail sauce with?
Shrimp.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Right. Shrimp with a little cocktail sauce.
Like the Vanderbilts.
Well, I don't know about that. We get the frozen shrimp, and then I put that in that Instapot, and dinner is served.
Huh.
No, it's something else. You know what? Next time I make shrimp, I'll bring you some leftovers.
So you weren't eating shrimp cocktail style then?
No, I think you know how I feel about that.
Have you ever had shrimp cocktail?
Which is, explain to me that to me again, because I got in trouble last time.
That would be like a cold shrimp.
Yeah, that's fine.
Cooked but cold. And then with the...
And then with the cocktail sauce. I prefer it cooked and warm, though. Mm. If I have my druthers. Like, if you're saying I'm making shrimp...
Did you batter the shrimp?
What am I, Julia Child? No, I don't batter the shrimp.
So you just heated it up?
Yes.
Okay.
I push a button.
Yeah.
And then it beeps.
Did you season it at all?
Yeah, Old Bay.
Oh, nice.
I told you that.
I'm glad that you're using the Old Bay.
You gotta use the Old Bay.
That I bought you.
Did you buy me that Old Bay?
No.
That I bought you.
Be with us. All of a sudden, I turn into Judy Garland.
Why are you build up Judy Garland yelling at me about horseradish?
That I bought you?
Number five.
A hacker used ransomware to lock victims in their internet-connected chastity belt. The source code for the chastity lock ransomware that targeted male users is now publicly available for research purposes because they're trying to prevent this from happening in the future. Now, these are people who bought chastity belts that were connected online so that I suppose the partner of whoever's wearing the chastity belt could turn it on and off
via the
internet.
It's an actual physical chastity belt.
The Kui Cellmate chastity device. It was Bluetooth controlled. And users of it were targets of an attack with malware after security researchers found a vulnerability in the toy that allowed you to lock it remotely. It's a connected sex toy with a companion app to control the locking and unlocking via Bluetooth.
I don't know about a toy.
That's managed by someone else other than the person who's wearing the device.
Okay. What a world.
The attacker then could just, you know, lock you up and then you don't get out. Victims were asked to pay. You got an email saying, hey, you're locked in your chastity belt.
I know.
I'll let you out for 0.02 bitcoins.
Uh-huh.
Which works out at the time of the attacks last year when this happened to about $270. Soon after the attack started, a flood of complaints came in from victim users reporting that they could no longer control their chastity belts.
How many people are wearing these things? A flood?
Some of them fell victim to the attacker multiple times. The attacker engaged victims after locking their chastity belts that they controlled, mocking victims when they asked what happened, saying that they used magic to take control of the chastity belt. Some users were concerned that the only way to remove the cellmate device was by cutting it off because there was no manual override for the Bluetooth lock. And if you were to cut the hardened steel used for the lock, you needed an angle grinder, which is not something you want turned on in that area of your body. So for a lot of victims, it was like, what are you going to do? You got to pay the money. Things,
are these form-fitting, or is this something that would be bulky and very noticeable?
Oh, interesting. So like...
Because...
Yeah, how do you walk around in one of these things?
Yeah, or would it be like, hey, what's going on with the Bob over here? You hear all this clanking and stuff?
Why is your crotch beeping, Bob?
Huh?
Your crotch, it's been beeping.
Oh, it's a virus.
There were some emergency escape possibilities available. One of them was to contact remote support and ask them to unlock the cellmate chastity belt. Another involved only a screwdriver to unlock the device manually. And they posted a video showing how to do it.
Google it.
Should your app become compromised to the point where you cannot unlock your cellmate device, please contact us to have your device unlocked and reset remotely.
But you're saying that some people dealt with this.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
paid the money and then...
and then went ahead and put it back on again.
Yeah. They say the latest version of the app should be safe to use, and they're putting out the old code so people can, you know, learn from their mistakes. But
what was that code again?
Why would you put it back on?
I don't know.
I don't know why you would put it on in the first place, all right? I'm not here to kink shame. Do your thing. Have fun. But then once you've learned that people you don't know can be in control of it,
yeah.
Then that's the end of that.
No, I would get claustrophobic.
I still haven't had anyone explain to me how you go to the bathroom in one of these things either.
You don't.
Is that part of the thing?
Uh-huh.
That's part of the turn-on?
That's part of the kink.
You don't get to use the bathroom? Well, enjoy.
No, it just seems to me like you could have more fun, kinky things than that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get kinky, that's one thing.
Okay.
But this doesn't sound like any fun.
Here's a picture of it, Darren. We're looking at a picture of it here.
It's like an old flip cell phone. Yeah. Or it's like a...
it looks like... it's just a lock.
A door knocker.
Yeah. What is that connected to?
I don't know.
How do you wear this?
Yeah, none of that looks fun.
No. Breaking through distance unlocking, more possibilities. Remote control with all-in-one design, keyless access. The dominant has control to authorize unlocking. So I bet that's part of it. You have to text them and say, hey, I'd like to use the bathroom. May I use the bathroom?
Oh,
and then they say, yeah, go ahead. It says, outstanding waterproofing performance, perfect for using in showers and baths. This costs $169. It says it's lightweight and cozy, and I got a picture of a guy playing basketball in it. Like he's about ready to dunk the ball.
Well, he's Michael Jordan or something.
Yeah, that's... I don't know this that that's the best.
This is the Air Jordan model, apparently.
It says, notice, due to the nature of this project being related to personal hygiene, please check the dimensions before purchasing. We cannot do an exchange once the item is shipped. Oh, yeah, you don't want to...
No.
You don't want to wear this.
It's like trying to return underwear. It
comes in discreet packaging. No indications on the outer box.
Well, you know what? Most stuff does, really. Even if it's just a box of peanuts. For the most part, it's pretty discreet.
It's true.
Yeah.
Nobody's packaging says this is what's in the box.
Not too much.
Yeah. And if there was a box on someone's doorstep that said cellmate, I don't think anyone would know that's a chastity belt. Their slogan at Kiwi Chastity is, love hurts. Good Lord. So this is all they sell. A lot of these chastity cages.
Replacement parts.
I'm looking online here, and a lot of this stuff is just out of stock.
Mm-hmm.
They have the short model and the long model. Those are your choices.
Well, you're going to be getting some interesting ads on this computer for quite some time.
Oh, because I'm looking at this? Yeah, you're right.
Are you still interested, Dave?
This company was established in 2017. We are committed to improve the quality of human well-being. We are constantly developing and producing creative and practical novelty products. All of our products are based on original designs and are self-manufactured to achieve high standards and quality. It is our long-term goal to build a positive community and alternative lifestyle online. We are actively looking for cooperation and business opportunities. Love, heart, love, hurt. What? Okay, well, you're right. Having this website open on this computer means we are going to
you're going to see some pretty good deals.
Why am I getting all these ads for dog collars? I don't have a dog.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's David Darren's top five things. That's how it worked. If you like the podcast, make sure you're subscribing to it. If you're already subscribing to it, well then, thank you. We'll have more of these podcasts for you when we have another one for you.
Yeah.
Until then, we want to thank Nature's Treatment of Illinois for making it all possible, Darren.
They are the sponsor. You can sign up for the newsletter and connect with them at Nature's Treatment on Twitter and also Instagram.
Until we get a chance to do it again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock out,
come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.